2 weeks ago, we started an extended lesson on some selected Bible topics. This morning, mainly for the benefit of those who were not here 2 weeks ago, we're going to very briefly review some of those topics and then hopefully finish the lesson today. We started off by observing that just about every religious group, most religious groups for sure, have, as part of their public worship, sermons, homilies, messages, whatever term they choose to use, public teaching about the Bible, or what the Bible says, and that it is a, not only is it very common, but it's also one of the primary methods that we use, or different religious groups, including ourselves, use to teach, you know, things from the Bible, educational encouragement kinds of topics, preventing sin topics, as well as, you know, those that challenge, correct, rebuke, confront, etc. But we also notice that, you know, not all sermons are quote-unquote created equal, that depending on the audience and depending on the topic, you know, some may be more familiar, some may be more or less complex, applicable, etc. And that, you know, quite naturally, some topics may be more interesting or less interesting or more desirable, less desirable than others. And that's, you know, to be expected, you know, relatively normal. But we wanted to focus on sermon topics and really, as Rob observed, Bible topics, not just related to sermons, can be Bible study, etc., that we'd really rather not hear because of their nature, because of our particular attitudes or others that we'll see. And as part of this, we talked about, you know, the Bible warns us both in the Old Testament and the New Testament about people who want smooth words. Not necessarily true words, but smooth words. Isaiah 39:9-10, Romans 16:17-18, etc. We also saw that there's also dangers regarding people who may have quote-unquote itching ears. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. As well as those that may be hard of hearing, not in a physical sense, not that they need, you know, hearing aids, etc. Matthew 13:15, but things they don't want to hear. Similar verses that refer to people having their ears stopped. A similar kind of thing. Zechariah 7, verses 11 and 12. Acts 7, verse 57. And then we also looked at, well, why would people do that to what's supposedly God's word? And we noted a number of different potential reasons, including they just may not have been taught. And, you know, we cannot presume or assume certain, you know, motivations or motives or attitudes. You know, it may be because of what they were not taught, maybe because of what they were taught. Certainly there's a lot of society, cultural influences, maybe because of certain family members being involved in some of these things or their own personal involvement in some of these things. And maybe a little bit more to the point, who can have these sorts of, you know, attitudes regarding ears and listening to God's word? Well, obviously, you know, those who don't believe in God's word, sometimes people who are members of various denominations, even sometimes members of Churches of Christ, quote-unquote institutional or liberal, family members, and really bring it home, ourselves. Now, how can we sort of apply the lesson? What we talked about, first and foremost, trying to apply what we're talking about today to us individually as listeners, you know, as part of a sermon, Bible class, Bible reading, etc., potentially to us as influencers. If we're trying to influence other people, you know, we should not be surprised that there are some topics that are pretty sensitive, if I could use that term, that you may get kind of a negative response to. And likewise, if you're seeking a local congregation, you know, these are some, you know, topics to be, you know, watching for, what religious groups may teach, topics they pick, or topics they choose not to pick, or topics they choose to avoid, etc. I noted at the time I came up, and hopefully I didn't freak you guys out, you know, at least 30 different topics to kind of make it a little bit more digestible. I grouped them arbitrarily somewhat into 8 different categories, got them here on the screen, and we covered most of, I think, the first 4 categories last time, and we'll try to cover the last 4 categories today as well. Related to the book of Genesis, God and sin, salvation, assembly, and today we're going to focus more so on what the Bible has to say and topics that we may not want to hear regarding sexuality, our bodies, personal relationships, as well as ourselves. So last 2 weeks ago, we talked about Genesis and sermons that start off by, you know, focusing on creation. I mean, the first 5 words in the book of Genesis, and how some people within our modern culture with quote-unquote science, etc., you know, that's a topic they may not want to hear. You know, the whole creation versus evolution, theistic evolution, you know, the literal days of Genesis, basis of what's sometimes called scientific creationism, the relatively young age of the earth, you know, topics that people go, I'm not certain about that. Likewise in Genesis, you know, emphasis when you get over to chapter 6 about Noah's flood. And likewise, people say, well, you know, it's hard to believe in that. And it's probably, some people claim it's a myth. Some people claim it was local. But if you read the text, it's not a myth. It's not local. It talks about being global. And some of the sensitivity people may have to the destruction of pretty much all life, land life on the planet. Animals, children, etc. And topics like that, people may go, I don't know if I really want to hear that kind of topic. And likewise, we noticed, as we have in several sections throughout the lesson, a lot of material on our website. Pretty much just type in the first letter of the topic and you'll be able to find lots of stuff. Sermons that start talking about the nature of God beyond being a benevolent kind of being. Global flood. You know, death penalty for violations of the law of Moses, you know, commands for the Israelites to, you know, kill the people in the land of Canaan, etc. You know, sermons that talk about God's nature, particularly the violent aspects, or what we would perceive. That might turn some people off. Personal accountability turns some people off. You know, behavior has consequences. Hard to believe, but it does. And how sometimes some people may claim, well, it's just making a mistake or a disease, if you will, when the Bible actually calls it sin and holds people accountable. How about sermons that talk about eternal punishment? You know, some people claim any sort of eternal punishment is merely a myth. Or other people claim, well, yes, there is such a thing as punishment, but it's more annihilation. It's very temporarily instantaneous and it's over, as opposed to sermons that emphasize the eternal nature of punishment. And some people look at these various topics and, you know, kind of start responding, you know, kind of negatively, things they'd rather not hear. And likewise, topics that you can get at our website. Continuing on about salvation. Depending on people's backgrounds, they may, you know, think in terms of all you have to do to be saved is just pretty much be a good person, you know, better than the average person. Or depending on their backgrounds, they may have heard, you know, things like grace only, faith only, all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Once you've done that, once saved, always saved, etc. And sermons that talk about, you know, faith working by love may strike them as, you know, odd or as not sounding right, even though that's what the Bible says. Sermons that talk about the need for repentance and changing of life, you know, certainly that can make people, you know, uncomfortable. Sermons that talk about the role of baptism, which there's all different kinds of divergent views, including all the way back to it's totally irrelevant to what we believe the Bible teaches. It's essential in order to have the forgiveness of sins, to become a Christian. It's not something Christians do. It's something people do to become Christians. Adult, believing adults, immersion in water, and those kinds of topics, people, depending on their background, may go, I'm not too sure, certain about that. How about the church? You know, some people claim everyone's going to be saved regardless. Some people will narrow that down perhaps to some degree to say, well, okay, you do have to believe in quote-unquote Christianity. Pretty broadly viewed. Even more narrow, you know, talking about, you know, the Lord's church that Jesus promised that he would establish, churches of Christ, salute you, Romans 16, etc. You know, that's getting pretty narrow according to some people's perspectives, but nonetheless, that's what the scriptures say. Institutionalism, liberalism, etc. A number of common statements you can see up there on the charts that we've kind of walked through. Sermon topics on this, you know, definitely are starting to get people uncomfortable by this point. And of course, more topics from the website. The local assembly. So I think we pretty much almost through this slide, so I'll tap the brakes here in a couple moments. Sermons that talk about attendance and the need to attend, pretty much most services, every service, that can start getting people, feeling uncomfortable. Some topics they may not want to hear. How about the work of the church? And certainly depending on your religious background and what you may think the work of the church is, if you start hearing sermon topics or Bible study or reading anyway, that talks about the work of the church being, mostly, if not almost exclusively, spiritual as opposed to social. And social in the sense of, social justice, political action, etc. Or social in terms of recreation, entertainment, having fun, etc. Or sermons that talk about, again, back to the spiritual part, benevolence relating more toward the saved as opposed to the church being a Red Cross kind of society. As opposed to people claiming the church needs to be, out there, building urgent care centers and hospitals and orphan homes, etc. Likewise, sermons that may, again, talk more about the spiritual nature of the church as opposed to social in terms of recreation and entertainment and rock concert-like things, which leads us right into, worship of the church. Certainly sermons that, again, emphasize the spiritual nature of worship. Singing one to another, may start getting people uncomfortable if they're used to either instrumental music in general or, rock concert kinds of presentations. As I said 2 weeks ago, if you kind of look around and participate in our worship today, admittedly, this is boring. I made the point 2 weeks ago. This is just like boring. And people may say, well, is that what the Bible teaches? I don't know if that, I can really resonate with that kind of a topic. And last time we also mentioned about, one of the more sensitive topics is anything related to money, finances, giving, depending on a lot of the abuses that, people have seen of quote-unquote Christians, Christian, preachers, and embezzlement and all that sort of stuff. Sermons on the topic of giving can certainly be a turnoff, if you will. Again, depending on your background, depending on your attitude, depending on your experiences. One thing we left off at last time, didn't get into, church discipline. Now, so if we have a sermon that starts off with, let's just say 2 Thessalonians 3:6. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Now, for people who have been raised pretty much in a judge not kind of atmosphere, that's Matthew 7:1, and that's only Matthew 7:1. If you continue on in the reading, it's more than just judge not. They can easily get uncomfortable with sermons that talk about the need for limited fellowship or controlled fellowship, or exercising congregational discipline. Now, that can be real touchy if it involves family members. I don't need to remind you that, there have been situations that, have come up that involve family members and congregation just blow apart, right? Because family members have been, impacted, especially troubling. This kind of discussion or this kind of topic, when you take God's word and you start, talking about it and presenting it and start making application to our lives. People go, no, I don't want to hear that. More than just, I don't know if I'm comfortable. It's like, I don't know if I want to hear it. It's like, nope, don't want to hear that at all. Again, with respect to various functions and activities of the local congregation. And likewise on the website, various topics that you can go to read more about these things in particular. And again, as I said last time, given 30-some-odd topics, the best I can do is kind of just touch briefly on them and then kind of vector you over to the website if you're interested in reading more scriptural information or scriptures that you can actually study on your own. Okay, so let's get into some even more sensitive areas. So let's start off with, and it's somewhat sensitive, particularly within our society, where, the open expression of, human sexuality is like a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal, big part of our culture. And that for anyone to say anything restrictive, you know, strikes a lot of people as being antiquated or prudish or even hateful. But as you start looking at Bible, you know, scriptures, well, there are restrictions. So let's start off with a word that even in our modern culture sounds antiquated, right? Fornication. Now, we talk about living together, adultery, homosexuality, etc., all these kinds of related expressions of sexuality. How about a sermon that starts off, how about with 1 Corinthians 6:9? Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And again, this depends on your translation. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, etc., shall not inherit the kingdom. Likewise, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Now, is it any wonder that people start getting uncomfortable with those kinds of words, with those kinds of sermon topics that, you know, basically say or basically condemn, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend getting together and having sex or living together, which is very common today. Adultery, you know, sexual activity outside of a marriage relationship, homosexuality, and many other forms. A very uncomfortable subject for people, especially if they are personally involved in that kind of relationship or are thinking about that kind of relationship with someone or already involved. It can be very uncomfortable. And maybe sermon topics they really don't want to hear. Nonetheless, it doesn't change what the word says. Here's another one that in our society we got lots of problems with. How about a sermon topic that begins with Matthew 5, verses 28? But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And, of course, that can become a very uncomfortable topic, considering all the different kinds. I mean, if you got uncomfortable with the first topic, potentially this one even more so. I mean, with access to the internet and pornography, etc., as well as the way people dress, dances, etc. You know, sermon topics that address, you know, these kinds of things, a lot of people go, no, thank you, right? Even though that is still what the word says. So let's kind of shift gears a little bit more, talk about marriage. You know, husband and wife responsibilities. And you might say, you know, who would have a problem with, you know, husband and wife things, relationships, etc.? Well, if your sermon starts off quoting Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 28, how about this? And just right off the bat. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Okay, hold on right there. Right. But it continues. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And goes on, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Of course, it doesn't stop there. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife also loves himself. Now, within our society, that's definitely a non-starter kind of topic. I mean, with quote-unquote liberated women and even selfish husbands, okay, I mean, that's a topic. It's like, no, I'd rather not hear that one. Likewise, how about a sermon, and within our culture, this is definitely a non-starter. Matthew 5:32, Matthew 19, verse 6, both of those contexts. Whoever divorces his wife for any reason, except sexual immorality, some translations have fornication, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Now, in our culture, other cultures as well, I mean, we have, quote unquote, no fault divorce. No fault, no regret. Very common. Legally, relatively straightforward to obtain. any sort of, sermon that focuses on biblical restrictions to divorce and the subsequent restrictions for, dating, remarriage, etc., can very easily be a topic like, just shut up. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it at all. And it gets personal. It gets real personal, right? With family members in situations like that. Or if you're in that situation, dating someone or already married in that kind of a situation, it can really be sensitive. Nonetheless, it's what the Word says. And we have to acknowledge that. Sexuality, marriage, and home. And, of course, likewise at the website, various topics that you can find and read the various scriptural references for. Okay. I forgot. I was going to write up something here on the board. Let me do it real quick. This is going to be kind of like a trivia test or a memory test. Do I have a pointer here? I think I do. Probably did. Is that what that is? Ah, here we go. 1945, right? World War II, quote unquote, the Holocaust, right? 6 million Jews and others, but mainly in round terms, round numbers, 6 million. Perished. Horrific. Absolutely, totally horrific, right? And you may recognize You may recognize the date, 1973, Roe versus Wade. Since then, roughly 60 million abortions in the United States. That's a factor of 10 times the Holocaust. And I'm not certain if the numbers are totally accurate. 60 million within the U.S. Since roughly the same time, 1980, give or take, worldwide, 1,200 million. 200 Holocausts. And of course, sermons that approach anywhere near this topic, a very polarizing topic, within our culture, within other cultures. Any verses that even come close, like Titus 2, 3 and 4, that the older women admonish the young women to love their children. I mean, any sermon topic that dares to infringe on a quote-unquote woman's right to choose is like, no, that is definitely a topic we stay away from. Or should we? Even though it's within the scripture. Okay. Abortion. Big red flag there. How about sermons that begin with, how about Romans chapter 12, verse 1? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12, verse 1. Now, for people who may see nothing wrong with smoking, tobacco products, even the new e-cigarettes, for instance, drinking alcoholic beverages, indulging in recreational drugs, both illegal and, now within Colorado, legal drugs. These kind of sermon topics can be a put-off, right? Restrictive, antiquated, don't even want to approach that. At least that's what they may feel. And yet, verses that talk about the need for, being sober, being vigilant, they sound very antiquated. Nonetheless, it's what's there in the Word. And here's another topic that can get, real sensitive. And I will confess, I've picked a particular graphic here that's pretty extreme. more so there to make a point, but based on similar verses, you know, how do we respond to, you know, sermon topics like Romans 12, you know, living sacrifice, or how about 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, I don't have to tell you that there is, should I call it a modern craze for tattoos? I mean, we were having lunch yesterday. Carl shaking his head, yes. Jennifer as well. There was this woman that walked by, and admittedly, she, I would not necessarily say was scantily dressed, but, I mean, she was showing quite a bit of leg and shoulders and whatever. And wherever, well, this sounds kind of bad. Wherever you looked, in some cases you probably shouldn't have looked. But anyway, tattoo. Tattoo on the shoulder, tattoo on the leg, tattoo on the foot, tattoo on the neck. It's just like, oh, you know, billboard. And sermons that even come approach this kind of topic, you know, some people may go, oh, wait, you've gone too far. I mean, this is like personal expression. You know, get your hands off my body, so to speak. But when you look at the kind of verses that we've seen here in the Bible, you know, and you compare them or contrast them with, you know, various tattoos, you know, you have to ask yourself a question. You know, what message is being sent? Right? Now, you may or may not agree, but, you know, in some, and yes, there is an Old Testament verse that talks about, you know, marking of the body, etc. But again, we also say, well, that's in the Old Testament, it's not in the New Testament, etc. Now, I don't know if you can say it's inherently sinful to have a tattoo. But when you start looking at the messages that are being sent, or if you look at their placement and where the eye is drawn to see the tattoo, particularly on women, in both of those kind of cases, you know, it gets real touchy with people. And nonetheless, we see, you know, scriptures that kind of address these kinds of things, that our bodies are not our own. We just can't do them whatever we want to. That we need to be careful, you know, of our influence and the messages we send, etc. Glorifying God in our body, etc. So, our bodies in multiple ways related to sermon topics that we need to be careful what our attitudes are and how we respond. Okay? And again, topics at our website. Okay? Let's talk about relationships for a little bit. Okay, how about sermon topics that would start off with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. And again, this kind of depends on the translation, which word you might find. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish. And then Paul goes on to talk about contentions, jealousies, backbitings, whisperings. Now, again, depending on your translation, instead of backbitings and whisperings, you may hear words like slander and gossip. And this is, you know, candidly one of those areas that I think we can fall into so easily. I mean, so easily. I mean, you're at work, and the guy, you know, guys, gals, whatever, you know, are sitting around, and they're talking, and one says, oh, did you hear what the boss had to say? And off they go, right? Very, so easily. I mean, a group of women getting together. You would not believe what my husband did the other day. And off they go. And in equal fairness, guys getting together. Oh, did you read about what Senator so-and-so did? I can't believe that. And off they go. And when you look at verses like we're talking about here, you know, whisperings, gossip, slander, and you also overlay that with the fact that gossip doesn't necessarily have to be false. It can be true. It's just not appropriate, right? Something that needs to be talked about. And not only verses that talk about, you know, gossip and whisperings, et cetera, tale-bearing, et cetera, but also scriptures that talk about, you know, showing a, you know, a degree of honor or respect to people in positions of authority, like bosses or husbands or the king or politicians, et cetera. It is so easy to slip into that. And for me to even say anything about it, people may be going, oh, I don't know about that. Well, it is what the word has to say. So, something we should keep in mind. Oh, I also forgot, back one. You don't even have to get together. Through the modern wizardry of the internet, one click away. I mean, we used to talk about, there used to be, I don't think it's around anymore, some social media sites that were somewhat notorious. MySpace might have been one of those sites. But it doesn't even have to be, looked upon, that's one of those kind of websites. No. I mean, like Facebook, right? Social media. One, two, three clicks, and, you're spreading or listening to or, quote-unquote, liking. Like I said, so easy. So easy. Okay, we already talked about employee responsibilities a little bit. 1 Peter 2, verses 18. How about sermon topics that start off this way? Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. I don't want to hear that kind of a sermon topic, especially at work with my boss. Yeah. Personal temptation for all people who are employed. It is so. That's an easy one, like we said, to slip into as well. Here's one that's equally easy. How about a sermon that deals with Matthew 5:44? But I say to you, love your enemies. That's hard. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now that one I may not want to hear. I mean, especially with the way people treat me. Especially with the way we're often conditioned in modern movies. I mean, when the hero is put down by the bad guys and his family's abused, whatever. And it's like, okay, sets the stage. All right, rah-rah, go out and take vengeance on those evildoers. Wait a minute. Personal vengeance, personal revenge. Wait a minute. Didn't we just cut through reading about, loving your enemies, blessing those? Don't want to hear those kind of sermon topics. I want to get even. Right? We talked a little bit, I think, this morning in class. Being the light of the world, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. What about sermon topics or Bible study classes that deal with our need to be a good influence to others, or our need to, try to, help spread the word via personal evangelism? Is that going to make us uncomfortable? Should it make us uncomfortable? And likewise, more at the website that we can dig into if you're interested. Okay, last category, self. So this is like home stretch, right? And if you haven't been, if your conscience hasn't gone, no problem. I got no problem with these. Well, okay. Here's some more. Maybe we'll get you with some of these. How about materialism? How about sermons that talk about Luke chapter 12, verse 15? And he, being Jesus, said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Big word. Basically means greed. "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Sermon topics talk about greed and materialism and keeping up with the Joneses and the lust of the eyes and the I wants. I wanna, I wanna, I wanna. May not want to hear those kind of sermons. How about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, redeeming the time. Again, depending on your translation, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. How about sermons that emphasize the need for, setting aside, a good chunk of time for things like, prayer and Bible study, etc. What about those kind of sermon topics? Here's one. How about Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and a sermon that starts off with this kind of a quote. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are noble, pure, lovely, good report, and others, meditate on these things." And you say, okay, well, that sounds good. Well, yeah, but let's make application. What about people, and this may be ourselves, that tend to be, entertained, amused, whatever, by, blood, violence, gore. Now, you can call that horror. You could call that, you know, revenge epic, whatever. Movies, video games, sermon topics that, you know, try to apply these scriptures to, if you will, modern day technology. But a lot of people just, you know, go do naturally, right? Because it's, you know, part of our entertainment culture. They go, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to hear about, you know, anybody wanting to restrict what I see at the movies or what video games I play. Be careful. Here's another one. That's within our culture, again, a very easy thing to fall into. And that's profanity. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. And again, depending on translation, neither filthiness, one translation has obscenity, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. Some other translation has crude joking. Okay. You like to tell a dirty joke now and again? Like to listen to a dirty joke now and again? Spice up your language a little bit with some profanity? Or what we sometimes call euphemisms? What about sermon topics that you know, dwell on that? And restrictions to our speech? I don't know about those. Okay. How about one more? Pride of life. James 4, verse 6. Quote, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. For those of us who may have an inflated sense of self-worth or self-importance, easily get upset if people don't do things our way, even though it might not be the only way, or look down on others, etc. You know, excessive ego, how are you going to phrase that? You know, sermon topics that dwell on these kinds of scriptures, you know, how do we respond? How do we react? And likewise, topics at the website with more material that you can read, including euphemisms and whatever, and things that I certainly don't want to say from the pulpit, but you know, you can read up on the website, you know, specific examples. Okay, last chart, conclusion. Lots of topics. I mean, just in the last two lessons alone, like 30 some odd topics, 8 different categories, etc. Topics, teachings, sermonettes, Bible lessons, however you want to phrase that, that can strike people oddly. And the reason why, a lot of different reasons why. You know, external societal influences, internal influences, the things they're involved with, not involved with, involvement of their family, etc., can impact those attitudes. And everyone's vulnerable. That's you and me, right? Which is, let's bring it really close to home. Right? We are all vulnerable to a wide variety of things because of a wide variety of influences. We need to be self-aware. We need to be very self-aware. And when we start acting that way, it's like, whoa, hold on a second. Why am I responding that way? You know, why am I suddenly finding myself getting kind of, or hot under the collar, or dismissive, or he doesn't know what he's talking about, or whatever. You know, self-examination. When it happens, you know, not only why am I reacting that way, but, you know, the natural tendency is either shut down or, you know, quote-unquote, shoot the messenger. You know, why are we feeling that way? Why are we responding that way? And last of all, we need to be like the people described in Acts chapter 17, verses 11. Which says, quote, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Basically, these were the Bereans, right? People in Berea. More fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We need to be like the Bereans, regardless of the topic. And as I said up front, you know, there are some topics that, you know, we naturally, you know, are presented or we listen to, whatever, and we go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I've heard that before. Okay, yeah, no big deal. Hold on. Okay. Might not be a topic I would choose to listen to, but okay. We're not talking about that here. I mean, we're definitely talking about sermon topics that people respond negatively to, and especially when it's us. One of those topics we talked about this morning was salvation. Part of that, of course, is
recognizing one's own personal sin, recognizing that they can't do anything about it, recognizing that there is a plan God has provided for removing that sin and being saved. We call it the plan of salvation. And very briefly, it involves, hearing God's word, believing that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, Son of God, repenting of the sin we've talked about, some of the sins we've talked about, confessing Jesus as deity, Son of God, and being, yes, according to the scriptures, being immersed as a believer in water in order to have forgiveness of sins. And of course, that's just the beginning. Part of this is the salvation plan. Salvation also involves, repenting. If you've done that, I mean, you've kind of strayed away, fallen away, whatever the case may be, being able to repent. Sometimes that's public, which means repentance needs to be public as well, and we offer that opportunity as well. Sometimes it's just saying, you know what, Jeff, you're right. I mean, there's some things you talked about today or 2 weeks ago that's like, yeah, that's kind of stuff I probably shouldn't be doing. And if it's personal, if it's private, and whatever, you don't need any help with it, that's fine. But if it's like an ongoing kind of thing and you'd really like to solicit, the prayers of the congregation, encouragement, whatever, that's a third aspect of the plan of salvation, if you will. So whether you need to become a Christian or publicly repent as a Christian or just ask for help, you'll be given the opportunity to respond if you want to come forward as we now stand and sing. Thank you.